Last week, I told you guys that we were going to be talking about, in a few minutes, we were talking about spiritual warfare. Because we're in a war. I'm going to say it again. Because we are in a war. The problem is that the church has not shown up for the fight. I do. I believe the church has not shown up for the fight. I believe that we've been silent. I believe the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about just Sojourn Church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And we wonder why we're in the state that we're in and wonder why these things are happening. I just believe that we've stopped fighting. And we've turned into, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be. And God never intended for us to just walk about life and just let whatever the world says to happen to us is supposed to happen. We are supposed to live intentionally. God's called us to live on purpose. God's gifted you, anointed you, set you apart, blessed you, given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, not so that you can let life happen to you, so that you can live life on purpose, and not only live life on purpose, but live in such a way that it affects and changes the people that are around us. The church is not a thermometer. We are to be a thermostat. When you walk into a room, you're not just walking into a room, but you're walking in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God just walked in the room. The favor of God just walked in the room. The peace of God just walked into the room. The joy of the Lord just walked into the room. The people of God walked into the room. And we're not to be quiet. We notice people make noise everywhere they go. We are to be loud in the fact that we're proclaiming and spreading the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when I look around, I see that the church has been dormant. And the church has been silent and the church has been quiet. And then we wonder when we see the news or we see the things that are going on, why is this happening? I'm telling you, it's because we are in a fight. We are in a war. We are in a place where God is like, are you going to fight or not? Are we going to fight? And the truth is, we're going to talk about this today. Our fight is not with people. Your fight is not with the government. Your fight is not with the Democrats. Your fight is not with people. The Bible says that we wrestle, we fight, we struggle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our fight. We're not fighting against people. That don't mean sometimes you don't want to fight against people. And sometimes people get on your very last nerves. You hear what I'm talking about? My mother would say that. She'd be like, boy, you're getting on my last ones. I'm like, you know, Lord, mom, you know, it's like 27 trillion nerves. And I'm getting on the last one. She goes, yeah, that's how close you finna go see Jesus. People do that though. But he is using people to try to get you distracted so that you cannot live life on purpose that God has called you to live. So thus we fight. Now, we'll pray, but I'm praying. This is one of the most important messages that I will preach this year. The reason why I'm saying that is because if the church does not rise up, if the church does not rise up and be who God's called us to be, I'm telling you, we're in trouble. We're in trouble already. But I'm telling you what, the church has got to rise up and take her rightful place in the kingdom of God. If we don't rise up and take our rightful place, you're just going to let the enemy have your marriage? You're going to let the enemy just have the church? You're going to let the enemy just have? I'm telling you what, there's no way that there's something in me that's going to be like, well, I don't know. Well, Lord, it's in your hands. Lord, like, no, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemy. Hey, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. I've given you authority. I've given you power, and you're just going to let it happen? I'm telling you what, I'd be a monkey's uncle if I'm sitting by and let the church just let whatever happened to it happen. Rise up and take your rightful place in the kingdom of God and fight, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that the word of God will be so rich today that as we proclaim it, that it'll change the way that we think. We repent, change the way that we think about fighting and being in this war. So we thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. One of the things that Pastor Kevin, this is Palm Sunday. In Palm Sunday, we turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to turn. In Palm Sunday, I want you to see something. There's a perspective that I want you to hear. Thank you guys for putting that on the screen, because obviously in my notes, I didn't put the, I didn't put the book. Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to start at verse 1. You're reading the story. Are you ready for this? Everybody put your seatbelt on, because we're going to go. Maybe going fast, but I believe you can listen fast. You ready? Okay. This is now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you.'" Now stop just for a second. I want you to hear this. I want you to think about this. Remember when I tell you to read the scriptures, I don't want you to just read it. I want you to put yourself in the place of the story. Now think about this. Jesus is preparing to go into the in. He's preparing to go in. He's what I love about Jesus. He's not only preparing to go in, but he's prepared himself to go in into Jerusalem. And so he's saying this. So think about this. He's setting up the coat and all the disciples. He's preparing that. And so I want you to think about this. This is going to give you a different perspective. Verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the coat and laid their clothes on him. Pastor Kevin said that earlier. And set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who brought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables and money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Now, here's the perspective that I want you to see. Jesus, because it's Palm Sunday, and we celebrate the fact that he goes into Jerusalem, they cut palm branches down, they wave it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is preparing to go into Jerusalem. They see this, and they're praising Jesus. They're glorifying Jesus. They put him on a coat and to fulfill the scriptures. And as they are doing this, what you need to understand is they're praising Jesus. The same people, the same lips that were praising Jesus are the same ones that turned into jeers and saying, "Crucify him." Jesus is preparing to go into a place of a war zone. This is the beginning of the end. So we have a saying in the black community, sometimes it be your own people. Sometimes it be your own people. My Caucasian people say it this way: you only hurt the ones you love. So we say it the same thing, but we say it different. Here's the truth. The truth is, be the same people. Jesus is preparing to go into Jerusalem, and it's the same people that are, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," are the same ones that'll cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Now, this is what I want you to see. He's going into a war zone, but the truth is that he's going there. The first place he goes after they receive him and throw the palm branches down is into the house of God. He goes and cleans out the temple. And I'm going to tell you right now, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. And the first place that God is wanting to get straight and in order is the house of God. We think that it's like, well, the United States is under judgment. Do you know that, Pastor Chris? Do you know the United States is under judgment? Do you know the state and the nation and all these things are under judgment? I don't know. Here's what I do know. I know that the scriptures say that judgment begins at the house of God. If he's going to purify a place, if he's going to get something ready, it's going to be his bride. Because he says that I am coming back for a spotless bride. I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, and he's coming back. So it will make sense for him to go right into the house of God and into a place where the people of God are gathered together so that they could be cleansed. He has cleansed us. And we are righteous because he has made us righteous. But I believe we're not acting and walking in the righteousness that he paid for. Oh, I'm going to say some things today that you ain't going to shout to, but I'm going to go and say it anyway, because I am not held by accountability to you. I'm held by accountability to the Lord. So I'm going to say it anyway, so you can receive it or not. But the truth is God wants us to walk in the righteousness and the purity that he's paid for. And it's a war zone. It is a war zone. And so when I was a kid, so I've told many of you this, I had a speech impediment and I was in resource. I was in the slow classes because I was just slower than the rest of the kids. So I couldn't go to the normal classes that the regular kids, I wasn't even able to go to the same recess as all of my friends because I was in a special class. It was a special needs class. And I remember Miss Ingram was my teacher because I had a speech impediment, didn't God change? Because you wouldn't even know I had a speech impediment unless that's how the Holy Spirit worked. He healed me from that speech impediment. Because I'm thinking, Lord, I want to thank you for that. Because I had no idea I'd be preaching, but the truth is God healed me of that. But I had a speech impediment. And my oldest brother, most of the time never got along. We didn't. My little brother, everybody loves him because he's just great. He was just great. But my oldest brother and I never got along. But one of the best things that he ever did for me was teach me how to fight. And so the truth is I later realized, I can throw hands. I mean, that's in the South. That's what we say. I can throw hands. I was known in our town for fighting. We'd fight all the time. I didn't want to necessarily, but we just did. But my brother taught me how to fight. And this is what he told me later. I go, why'd you treat me that way? Why did you hit me? I'd walk in sometimes. He'd nail me in the face and I'd hit the ground and he'd be like, get up. And we'd fight. And he said, the reason why I did that is because I knew you had a speech impediment and I knew that people would make fun of you. And I knew I wouldn't always be there to protect you. And so I taught you how to fight. He goes, I didn't give you a whole lot, but I gave you that. And he did. I could fight with the best of them. I could hold my own. And so the truth is that he did. And I'm going to tell you how he did it. Sometimes he would push me. And he would push me and he'd poke on me and he'd push me. He'd be like, what are you going to do about it? And he'd be like, what are you going to do about it? I'd be like, nothing. Leave me alone. He'd be like, come on. You're just going to leave me alone. He would mock me and he would make fun of me and he would push me into the point where I had to do something about it. And I got tired of him doing that. So I hit him one day and I was surprised at myself. I hit him. I was like, oh my gosh. And I knocked him. I mean, I knocked him cold. And so it was one of those deals where my parents, we got into a fight in the kitchen table and my parents were counseling a couple in the living room. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. This is a true story. My parents, who were pastors of a church, were counseling a couple in the living room. And all of a sudden, me and my brother break out in a fight. I'm telling you what, I hit him in the face with a jar. It broke. I picked him up and I threw him into the door. The door busted open and we are laying in the middle of the floor with my parents counseling this couple. True story. Door bust open off the hinges. I got him by the shirt. He's got me by the shirt. And we are on the floor. And my parents, we're looking at them. And while they're counseling this couple, I go, I know we're dead. I know we are dead. And so my dad, this is what he said. He goes, would you excuse us? And he goes, boys, outside. We went outside and my dad turned green and all of a sudden his leg busted out of all the clothes and his arms busted out of the shirt and he beat us three ways till Sunday. I still remember that butt whooping. I'm serious. Every time I think about it, I rub it and just look off to the horizon. Lord, that was one of them ones I never forgot. I'm telling you what, that was crazy. That's a true story. That happened. But that was the first day, that was the first time that I stood up for myself and I fought back. And so I learned how to fight. If they don't, I learned how to fight. I learned how to protect myself. And every time that Timber would come and do whatever, my brother wasn't there. And there would be times when he would come in and he was my rescuer. I'd be getting beat up and he'd run in there. I was so glad to see him. But he would do that. There's times he wasn't there. I had to fight and I had to learn how to fight. Here's what I want to tell you. I believe that the enemy has been provoking the church for a while. I believe that the enemy has been like, you're gonna take that? You're all right with that? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with 4,000 churches closing every year? You okay with that? Are you okay with millions and millions of abortions that are happening? You okay with that? Are you okay with Dallas being the number one city for trafficking? Are you okay with that? Is the body of Christ okay with that? Are you okay with divorce being rampant in the church today? Are you okay with that? Is the body of Christ okay with that? Are you okay with pastors falling into moral sins and not being able to stand in their pulpits because they're being plagued with things? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with the enemy plaguing the schools and trying to bring in CRT and all these other things that they're trying to bring in to try to infiltrate your kids and try to tell them that they have to live the way of the world? Are you okay with that? Is the body of Christ okay with that? Are you okay with LGBTQ coming and dictating to the church what they're supposed to be doing and what they're supposed to? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with the world infiltrating the church and causing us to conform and be conformed, not to the image of Christ, but be conformed to the world? So are you okay with that? I want to tell you this morning that God is not okay with that. And the body of Christ should not be okay with that. There's got to be something on the inside of us that wants to fight and say that I will not stand for this anymore. I cannot. I will not. I can't sit back and let the church go the way of the world when God is saying that my house will be called a house of prayer. And I've set our church on a hill, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. I've called the church to be a light to the darkness. And we are walking in darkness simply because we are taking things that God never intended for us to take. And I want to tell you that it's time for the church to fight. And I didn't plan on this. Kevin, help me. I'm gonna get down there among you. Help me. I'm gonna get down there among you. I'm gonna provoke you. I'm coming down. I'm provoking you this morning. I'm an instigator fight. I'm looking for a fight. I'm looking for the enemy. The Bible says walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so I'm telling you, the church has got to stand up. We got to rise up and be who God's called us to be. And if you are going to be like, well, I just can't, I'm just going to be, I don't know what's going to happen. Do you know the eclipse is coming? How about you let God eclipse your heart and cut your heart and circumcise your heart so that we can be the church that God called us to be? Do you hear what I'm telling you? Are we going to be a church that God's called us to? And so I got 4 points this morning that I want to tell you, because he cleanses the temple. John 10:10, we are in the fight of our lives, ladies and gentlemen. You may not know it, but we are in the fight of our lives. We are. We're in a fight of our lives. Here's the problem. Pastor Terry and I were saying this. We were in the bathroom. He goes, well, he goes, the truth is that the church hadn't showed up for the fight. Do you realize that if we don't show up for the contest, that we forfeit? We forfeit. Amen? I would tell our kids, like the enemy, the thief, John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but only for to steal, kill, and to destroy. 24 hours a day, he's accuser of the brethren. Trying to take you out. They go, all the time? I go, yes, all the time. That's all he does. I'm like, Dad, what are you going to do if Robert comes in here? It's like, boy, we got help. We got Smith and Wesson and Beretta and Browning, all those guys to the rescue. We got all of them. They're all under the bed. Some of them under the bed. And they'd be like, really? All over the house? You just walked by 3 guns right there. Just as you came to me, you just walked by 3. I'm telling you, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And so we fight. John 10:10 says that. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he's come that we might have life. Matthew 11, 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Do you see that you sound like you're angry against the LGBTQRSTUV community. I'm not mad at them. I do love them. But the truth is they do not get to dictate how I live my life. They are not going to dictate how our church is supposed to run. So I'm not mad at them, but you can't come in here. You can't come in here and in church and try to dictate what's going to happen. You do that. But the truth is that the church has just let it happen. There's some churches be like, it's okay. It's just okay. And I'll say this, you're all welcome here. But the truth is that I would be a horrible pastor if I let you come in and not require you to change. Amen. That's the whole essence of our faith, is that once you come in, you change. You change. You're not the same person. That you think, does that just apply to the LGBTQ? No, it applies to everybody. We're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us need saving. All of us need a savior. All of us need redeeming. All of us. So you can't, I'm not going to let you come in here and think that you can come in here and not change. You need to change. And so we fight. We realize this reality. And so here's what it says in Ephesians. You can turn to here. I've been quoting scripture, but turn to Ephesians chapter 6, a scripture that's familiar in your hearing. It says, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. Notice that it's not strong in your own might, in your own power. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I want to stop here for a second because I'm going to interject something. I wish I had time to do this, but I don't. I don't have time to do it. But one day we're going to go through this, because where was Paul talking about? Where did he get this from? Paul didn't have the New Testament. Where did he get this deal about the armor of God? In Isaiah, if you go to Isaiah 51 and different scriptures in Isaiah, he's pulling from the breastplate of righteousness. He's pulling from the feet shod, the peace of, and he's, I would love to show, I just don't have time to do it today, but one day we're going to go through that, because Paul, he didn't have a Bible, but he was going back to the scriptures in the Old Testament talking about Jesus is our righteousness and the belt of truth, all those things, every from head to toe, from the helmet of salvation, he's our salvation. He's pulling that from Isaiah. So I would love to do, we're going to do that one day where I show you where Paul got this from. It's not original. He got that from the scriptures. No, I want to show it to you. But anyway, and so he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. I said that earlier in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to stand to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all. Listen, this is what he's saying. Listen at this. He's saying you take on the armor of God, the whole armor of God. Then he goes into praying. We've been talking about that. So it's the armor of God. And notice that the armor of God that he's talking about putting on is all frontal. There's no retreat. Is all frontal, going forward, not backwards. No retreat. Say no retreat.
No retreat.
You know, we're not, no retreat. We're going forward. We're fighting. We're advancing. Onward, Christian. Anyway, so we're going forward. And so he says, having put breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, said that, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's so much there. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You guys know y'all need to be praying for me.
Amen, amen, amen.
Do you know that? Amen. You need to be praying for me that I would stand and preach the gospel and preach the truth with boldness. Do you know that? You need to be praying for me. You don't think there's sometimes I'm thinking about, man, I shouldn't say that because, man, I may get in trouble or we may lose this or we may do that. Sometimes I just, the elders will be like, you need to be thinking of some of that, you know, some of the stuff you say. But the truth is you need to be praying for me as well, that I would be bold, that I would speak the truth. Speak the truth in love, but I would speak the truth. Colonel Allen West talked a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, about taking the high ground, having the high ground. How many know that we need to take the high ground? We need to take the high ground. The truth is, the reason why we can take the high ground is because Jesus took the high ground. He ascended the hill of Calvary and he got on that cross and he died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. So this week we take on the whole armor of God. And that's why God's called us. So point one is that we're in a war. Amen. That's my first point. We're in a war. We're fighting against principalities, rulers of darkness. His prayer was is that we would be, in Matthew, his prayer was that not that we would run, but he says, deliver us from the evil one. He said to pray, deliver us from the evil one. And we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Amen? Yes. Your fight is not with people. Say, my fight is not with people. Mom would say this all the time. Mom Susan Moore would say this all the time. If you can pinch it, it's not your problem, right? Some of you are like, I just want to pinch it just in case, just to get my point across. I just want to pinch him or her. Because how many know the devil uses people? Yep. I'm going to say it again because you might can't say it loud because you're sitting next to the person that you might be using. But go ahead and say, you know, the devil uses people. And so we're not praying that God remove those people, but we're praying that we're praying against those principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Say that. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're not. And so you need to know that. Not fighting against the blood. And here's my point two, because I got two more. You have weapons of mass destruction in your possession. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 and 6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing, what we did this morning, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, say that with me, every thought. Every thought, you can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. God's given you mighty weapons of warfare to pull down those strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world, but they are mighty, mighty, mighty in God to the pulling down every stronghold. You think the enemy is going to show up in a red suit and a tail and a pitchfork? No, he's going to come up in your mind. The biggest battle you will face on this earth is in your mind. The biggest battle you will face on this earth is right between your ears, where the enemy tries to plant a thought and try to get you to think and get off on thinking things that are not the Lord, thinking things that he's not giving you. Those thoughts, that's why he says every single thought. You got to run that thought by the word of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Come here, thought. Does that thought line up against the word of God? Nope, that's not, I'm not going to think on it. He tells us what to think on. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are good report. There's many. If there be any virtue, if it's praiseworthy, think on, dwell on, meditate on these things. His delight, her delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate both day and night. And what's going to happen? She shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, and its leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper, simply because you're meditating upon, thinking about, dwelling on the word of God. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. The Bible says that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will remain forever. Everything else will pass away, but the word of God will remain forever. When the enemy came against Jesus, he said, it is written. And this is what he said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We can't live by bread alone. It's got to be the word of God. So you fight. So prayer is a weapon. Say, prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. When you pray, you have weapons of mass destruction at your availability. You know what else is a weapon? Praise is a weapon. Praise and worship is a weapon. Why is that? Because it transforms your mind and your thinking, changes attitude. You get some praise. I'm telling you, I've been in a bad mood before. I've been just thinking on things I shouldn't be thinking. Put on some praise and worship music. Put on some praise and worship music. Back then, when we had Ron Canole and all that other stuff, we put on praise. It would change. Mom would have praise and worship playing all throughout the house. There's nothing wrong with playing. We're playing all this other junk. You're filling your mind and your spirit with all this other junk. How about fill it with some praise and worship? Praise is a weapon. There's an old song that we used to sing back in the day. When I was little, we used to sing this song. And I had to remember it this week. And it says, so forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then it said, we have come into this house to magnify his name, to worship him. We have come into this house and magnify his name and worship him. You guys remember this song? We have come into this house to magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, the reason why I had to sing that song, stay there. I heard you come in. The reason why I had to sing that song, you know why I had to sing that song, Mom? Because I was thinking about myself. It's the Jesus way to say, forget you then. That's Jesus' way of saying, forget you then. It's not about you, Chris. It's about me. And if you'll change your mind and start thinking about me and focusing on me, then the battle will change because you're thinking about me. Because the battle's not yours anyway. You're trying to take on the battle. The battle's not yours. The battle is mine. So if you'll put your mind and your meditation upon me, I will change the war and the outcome of the war. So forget you then.